رجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في قرآنه المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. صلوات على محمد وعلى آله. My dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity to be here on this night. One of my teachers gave me some advice once. He said that it's good from time to time to spend some time counting your blessings and just thinking about all the reasons why you have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thought we could do that first to start out with, just looking at the month of Ramadan and all the blessings that we've accumulated and we've enjoyed. First of all, the month of Ramadan itself, this divine feast, this banquet which we've been invited to, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us so much, and Allah doesn't break His promises. The blessing of fasting during this month, which has taught us so many things, has trained us, has given us taqwa, has taught us that we can, if we wish to, we can stay away from those things that God wants us to stay away from, and we can do what God wants us to do. The opportunity to become close to the Qur'an, this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light, the guidance, that which heals, that which is in the hearts, the opportunity to engage in dua and call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many different ways, whether it be through the du'as that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us, such treasures of meaning and of spirituality, whether it be just our own calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, with our tongues, our tears, the opportunity to come together as a community and to learn from each other and to worship together, to strengthen our bonds, to strengthen our family bonds, our friends, to build a community of believers. The opportunity to already have enjoyed two nights of a'mal together, where we poured our hearts out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now all these blessings, if you take them into account, indeed they're very magnificent, and they're a source of being very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you take all that and then you compare it to what we have right now, this night, we see that this night is something even superior. In fact, all these other blessings were there to prepare us. Even if you look at the Shahada of Imam alayhi salam, the opportunity to remember Amir al-Mu'mineen and to think about his excellences and think about our connection with him, what do we mean when we say that we are a Shia of Imam alayhi salam? That too was an opportunity that prepared us. The tears that we shed prepared us for what we have tonight. This night is the 23rd night of the month of Ramadan. And according to traditions, of all the nights, this has the most probability of being the night of Qadr. Now, in order for us to appreciate how great of a night it is, how amazing the opportunity is, let's just turn to the Quran and see what it says about the night of Qadr. This very night that we're enjoying right now, this very blessing that we are ourselves experiencing right now. The Quran says that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, indeed we revealed this, meaning the book, the Quran, in the night of Qadr. Now the Quran is a great book. The Quran is greatness. If the Quran was revealed on this night, then this night, by virtue of the Quran being great, this night is also great as well too. In one of the du'as of the month of Ramadan, you know that du'a we say, Ya Ali, Ya Azim, Ya Ghafur, Ya Rahim? This is one of those du'as that have been taught to us by the Ahlul Bayt. And in there we mention a few different reasons that make the month of Ramadan special. One of them is that the fact that Allah revealed the Quran in this month. And then, it's the fact that this month has the Laylatul Qadr in it. Which means that perhaps, you know, one could maybe say that, you know, in terms of importance, Laylatul Qadr, just the night itself has so much importance as well too. That it's being mentioned on the same, you know, level as the Qur'an. So this night itself is that great night in which the Qur'an was revealed. And then Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. This phrase, مَا أَدْرَاكَ, you'll see it come up a lot in the Qur'an, especially towards the end of the Qur'an. And it's a way, it's an expression in the Arabic language. When in Arabic you want to say that something is very great, you know, so great that it's almost incomprehensible. Arabic has all these neat ways of saying beautiful things like that in just very short, powerful statements. That's why it's a very expressive, you know, style, has a lot of style to it as well too. The expressions of style in rhetoric are many in Arabic. So when you want to say something is extremely great, you use this expression, wa ma adraka ma something. Now when Allah says ma adraka ma laylatul qadr, meaning that what will make you understand, you know, the greatness of Laylatul Qadr? It's something that cannot be captured in words. And then he goes on, he says that Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of Qadr is better than 1,000 months. It's better than 1,000 months. Now imagine 1,000 months itself is like 83 years and a bit, which means a whole lifetime. In one night we have the opportunity in terms of enjoying some greatness which is better than a whole lifetime. Now what does it mean for it to be better than 1,000 months? According to a tradition we have from the fifth Imam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam. He says that it means that any type of good deed performed on this night, whether it be prayers, whether it be giving charity, or any type of goodness when it comes to the actions we perform, it's better than if it were to be performed in 1,000 months in which there is no Laylatul Qadr. So look at the merciful opportunity that God has given us. By being alive right now, by taking advantage of it, how much we can achieve just by giving a bit of charity, by giving whatever it may be, like a salat, some act of charity, smiling at somebody, or even further, you know, like forging bonds with new mu'mineen, or forgiving somebody for some wrong that they did to you, or going to somebody and asking their forgiveness for something wrong that you did, calling up a relative that we haven't called up before, performing a ghusl, whatever it may be, all these actions are better than if we were to perform them for 1,000 months outside of Laylatul Qadr. That's a great opportunity. And so what we need to understand is, what is our duty in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then perform that duty. Now some people on this night, you know, they might wish to, they might, when they hear this, might say, okay, then I need to go and I need to, you know, participate in the a'mal, and then I want to stay up the whole night. But they might have other things that are more pressing duties to them. Like for example, somebody might have small children and they need to take care of the small children. The important thing is that we're doing our duty, whatever our duty is. For some people, they have that opportunity, they can clear out their schedule, they can spend the whole night in worship. That's what they need to do. They need to take that extra special effort to do that. If possible, take off tomorrow. For those who can't, they should make use of whatever time they have. And then even when they're performing their duty, for example, taking care of the children, then they should know that they're doing something that God wants them to do. That itself is a good deed as well too. Inshallah, they'll be rewarded for that. Now the Ahlul Bayt understood the importance of this night. That's why we see traditions saying that Sayyidah Fatima, that she would not let anybody from her household sleep on this night. Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein would be, she would compel them to stay awake during the night, and she would, you know, make sure that they were ready for that. Because she knew that the blessings of this night. And she would say, مَحْرُومٌ مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرُهَا. The one who is prevented, مَنْ حُرِمَ خَيْرُهَا, the one who is prevented from its goodness is indeed somebody who is misfortunate. You know, this is the seerah, this is the life pattern of Sayyidah Fatima sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. It is a night in which angels and the ruh will come down to the earth. Now the angels, imagine this, all of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are present on the earth tonight. This is a Quranic statement, this is a Quranic truth. And then the ruh as well. What is the ruh? According to some commentaries, the ruh is something which is even greater than all the angels. So all of these angels, these perfect beings, these creatures who are fully obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the means, the workers by which Allah pours down His grace to humanity. They are amongst us. And those who have pure hearts, they can witness the presence of the angels. Of course, the one who has the purest heart, which is the Imam of our time, Imam Al-Hujja, Imam Sahib Al-Zaman, alayhi salam, ajallahu farajahu sharif. He is the one to whom all the angels go to, and he's the one who is in command, because he is the from the Ulul Amr. Right? تَنَزَلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَرُوهُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. This Amr, we have a Sahib Al-Amr, the one who is in charge of the affairs, who is the Imam of the time, according to, again, the Quran. And he is the one to whom all these angels report to. But even those believers who are at high spiritual ranks, you know, they testify that, you know, in various means, it's known that they can sense the presence of the angels. They can sense the heightened sense of perfection on this earth, on this night. And all of this is testimony to the greatness of the night. This is the night that Imam of our time shows and demonstrates his being the medium by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala operates in the earth. Because he's the one who is going to determine the destiny for each one of us on this night. And we're told in hadith that in this night, all sorts of things are decided for us. Who's going to go to Hajj and who's not going to go to Hajj. All the blessings that are going to come to us in the next year, and all the afflictions and trials that will come our way, all the risk that we'll get, all the sustenance, and then whatever it is similar to that until the next year, all of that is going to be decided and signed off on tonight. It's only up to us then to see whether we deserve that in terms of the goodness. Of course, if we don't perform according to what's expected of us, then you know that itself can be decreased. But in terms of the upper bound and the lower bound, they say that that's what's decided on tonight. Salamun hiya hatta matra' al-fajr. This is a night of salam, of safety from all evil, of safety from all temptation. It's salam is one of the words of mercy, of extreme mercy, and it's one of the gifts in heaven. You know, in Surah Yasin, we say salam qawlun min rabbir rahim wa amtazul yawma ayyuhal mujrimun. One time, Ayatollah Bahauddini, he was asked, okay, the Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran. What is the heart of Surah Yasin? He's asked. So he says, the heart of Surah Yasin is this verse. Salam qawlun min rabbir rahim. Qawlun min rabbir rahim. Salam, that's what your Lord, who is the most merciful, will say on that day to the people of paradise. And that salam, it's not just the word salam. It means salam. It means that all the worries and all the everything that might be troubling somebody, in heaven, all that will be lifted and it will be replaced by the divine mercy from that Lord who is extremely loving and merciful. So it's a sign, it's a word that means a reality. It means the presence of incredible love and mercy. So this night is the night of tasting and experiencing the incredible love and mercy of our Lord who is Rahim, Rabbun Rahim. A Lord who is extremely and very loving and merciful. Peace and salawat ala Muhammad wa alihi. Brothers and sisters, what remains is for us to take advantage of the opportunity. God gave us this blessing. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do about it? You see, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created things, the way that He gives us blessings is that He gives them to us, He pours them down. And then it's up to us to thank Him by making use of them in the best way. If we don't, then it will become a source of regret for us. If you look at the Quran, when it describes people after they die, People after they die, they never blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never say to God that, oh God, you didn't give us enough. They never said that, oh God, you know, why did you give him a blessing but you didn't give me that blessing? No, the only thing they complain about is they have regret. They just wish and they say, Ya Laytana, or Ya Waylana. I mean, if only, or woe be to us, if only we had taken advantage of those opportunities that we had, but we didn't take advantage of them. You know, this is the regret. Nobody ever denies that God was the one who poured blessings down on them one after the other. Let me give you a few examples of that from the Quran. I then talk about, you know, one of the best ways, inshallah, we can make use of this night. That's going to be, inshallah, the focus of the speech. So just to build up to that, I want to mention a few places in the Quran where we're told how people will be in a position where in the hereafter world they'll know that they could have done something in this world but they didn't take advantage of it, and therefore they'll be regretful for that. For example, in Surah Mursalat, Surah number 77, verse number 43, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes a group of people. He says that on the Day of Judgment, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day to those who denied the message, who denied the truth. Now denying the message, there's a group of people who will say that we don't believe in Islam, we don't want your Islam, you know, we deny it. And they say that. There's other people who don't say it with their tongues, but in their actions, they show that they deny it. They don't practically act in a way that they accept it. This addresses both of these types of people. وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ هَذَا يَوْمُ لَا يَنْتِقُونَ. This is a day in which no one will speak. There'll be some periods in the hereafter, in that Day of Judgment, where people will not be allowed to speak. وَلَا يُؤَذَنُ لَهُمْ فَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. This is the point I wanted to mention. That on that day, these guilty people will not be allowed to speak. And if they were allowed to speak, you know what they would do? فَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. They would be apologetic and they would say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm regretful over what I did. I'm sorry. Now, when we read these type of verses in the hereafter, it's not just a matter of like reading it and saying, okay, that's good to know about what's going to happen in the hereafter. These verses present an opportunity for us in this world. It's an opportunity. It's a reminder. The Quran is supposed to be a reminder for everyone. Okay, what's the reminder here? I'm reading about what happens then. Then I can be okay. I can be thinking. I'm pondering, because when I read the Quran, I don't just read it. I ponder upon it. I say that if that's what people are going to be trying to do, they'll be wanting to apologize. They'll be wanting to feel regretful over what they did on the Day of Judgment. Then let me start here and now. Let me do all my apologizing here and now, and so that I won't have a reason to apologize in the hereafter. So this, my brother and sister, this is a night where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting us the opportunity to say, I'm sorry. I'm apologetic. I'm regretful over what I've done. I'm regretful over where I see myself going. And I'm going to turn a new page. I'm going to start a new life for myself on this night, with your help, O Allah. These a'mal that we perform, they're not just about sitting there and reciting, okay, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi, astaghfirullah. No, it's about feeling the message behind it and saying, oh God, I'm serious about this. You know, I'm taking advantage of this incredibly amazing opportunity for one thing to count the worth of 1,000 months, or you know, 83 years, and I'm serious about being apologetic. So number one thing that we can get from the Quran that we should try to do on this night is to feel apologetic. Number two, from Surah Sajdah, Surah number 32, verse number 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again describing people who deny, people who reject. And the way that they're going to feel apologetic, and the way they're going to be sorry on the Day of Judgment. And in one point, he'll address them. He'll say, فَذُوقُوا بِمَا نَسِيتُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا إِنَّا نَسِيْنَاكُمْ إِنَّا نَسِيْنَاكُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْخُلْدِ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. If you want to see the beauty of the Quran, like just look at these type of verses. I mean, it's so amazing, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذُوقُوا, taste the punishment over what you forgot regarding the Day of Judgment. Right? Again, forgetting the Day of Judgment, there's some people who accept the presence of a Day of Judgment. If you ask them to rattle off their usul ad-din, they'll be like Tawheed, Adl, Nubuwat, Imamat, Qiyamat, right? Ma'ad. They know these things. But do they act in a way that they really believe that there's a Day of Judgment? If they acted in such a way that they believed there was a Day of Judgment, then definitely things would be different about their actions. So Allah says that taste the punishment over what you forgot about this day. We too have forgotten you. We too have forgotten you. So taste the punishment of the eternity because of what you did. Okay, now this is one of the statements where if somebody reads the Quran with a sincere heart, and he reads about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that he's going to forget somebody, Allah forgetting somebody, that's something that really shakes them. But it's not a cause for despair. It's not a cause to say, okay, why is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is he so harsh? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving that to us as a reminder. He's saying that, okay, that's the way in the Day of Judgment, but you have your opportunity right now. You still have your life. If you're alive, that means that Allah still has hope that you can change. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, in Surah Baqarah, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. If you want me to remember you, all you have to do is remember me. Remember me, and I'll remember you. Okay, and the Arabic that's used here, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, it doesn't say فَذْكُرُونِي ثُمَّ أَذْكُرْكُمْ or فَذْكُرُونِي, even as it say فَذْكُرُونِي فَأَذْكُرْكُمْ, it says فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, right when you're remembering me. The same time you are remembering me, I am remembering you. In fact, even the tawfiq to be able to remember God itself only comes when God gives us, God remembers us. God casts His special mercy and attention on us. We shouldn't think that we're here tonight just randomly. Allah was the one who gave us this gift of being here tonight. So this is a promise. There it's a warning. There it's a reminder. But here it's a promise. Here it gives us hope. This is the night to apologize. This is a night to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well too. And then the third example I want to give from the Quran again, that on the hereafter there'll be people, and this is what Allah describes them in Surah Mu'minun, Surah number 23, verse number 36. He says, بَلْ قُلُوبُهُمْ فِي غَمْرَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْمَالٌ مِّنْ دُونِ ذَلِكَ هُمْ لَهَا عَامِلُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذْنَا مُتْرَفِيهِمْ بِالْعَذَابِ إِذَا هُمْ يَجْأَرُونَ. There'll be some people whose hearts are in a state of deep forgetfulness regarding the truth. They're just blind to the truth. Their hearts are dead. There's no feeling in there anymore. They're just bodies that are walking around. But in terms of spirituality, there's nothing. It's zero. There's no charge there. And their deeds also show this and reflect this. But what's going to happen? حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذْنَا مُتْرَفِهِمْ, when we seize their affluent ones. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't picking on rich people. He's not saying that all rich people are doomed for hell or the rich people somehow are bad. No. Rich people, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them wealth. They use it for good causes. This is a blessing. They can, you know, put this to good uses and good purposes. But he's just saying typically, in a community, typically those who tend to fall into this category of their hearts being in a state of ghamra, of deep, you know, forgetfulness, are those who are very affluent and then live the life. You know, meaning that they spend all their wealth on themselves and they just, you know, enjoy and have a good time with their wealth all the time. They don't have a thought about others and their wealth. Anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day, when we take them, then what do they want to do? What will their inclination be to do? Remember, we talked about apologizing, we talked about dhikr, about remembering Allah, but Allah has forgotten them. On this example, it says that these are the people who will want to scream out pleading to us. I mean, this taj'arun is a cry of fearfulness, which is an indication of somebody who has a deep need and he's trying to plea to somebody else. He's trying to entreat him and saying, you know, I want your attention, I need something from you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address them, لَا تَجْأَرُوا الْيَوْمَ إِنَّكُمْ مِنَّا لَا تُنْصَرُونَ. Do not make entreaties today, indeed you will not receive any help from us today. Today is not the day to be entreating and calling and screaming and, you know, and pouring out your heart. Meaning, on the Day of Judgment. But guess what, brothers and sisters? This is a reminder that's fear when it comes to the hereafter, but it's a reminder and hope that right now is that time. Right now is that time to pour our hearts out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cry to Him, to entreat Him. This is the spirit, the Quranic teaching is telling us, it's spurring us to action, and saying that this is the time for you to respond to that call. Ud'uni fastajib lakum. Call upon me and I'm there to answer your du'as. So brothers and sisters, this is some inspiration that we get from the Quran about what we can do, inshallah, on this evening, this night of blessings, this night of mercy. Now, there's one thing I'd like to address, which is that every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this blessing to come here, you know, we come, we're hopeful, We perform those a'mal, those actions, and we're hopeful that Allah SWT will forgive our sins. That we'll come out of here like a newborn baby, and we'll get back to square one again. You know, everything that, any way we've regressed in the past year, inshallah, with Allah's mercy, all these promises, with the tawassul of the Ahlul Bayt, tawakkul on Allah, all this will be taken care of, inshallah. But the question is this all that we can do? Is this what Laylatul Qadr is about? Just like every year, you know, throughout the year we accumulate whatever pollution we do on our hearts, and then because of our deeds, and then we come back, and this night, if we're alive, then we pray for forgiveness and we get forgiven. And then we just keep on going back to square one again and again and again. Is that the spirit of Laylatul Qadr? Is that the spirit of spiritual ascension that we have from the Qur'an and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam? There's a dua that we're told to, from the Ahlul Bayt, that they tell us to recite in the night prayer. If somebody has extra time, they can recite this dua. There's one line there which, you know, I'm reminded of that I'd like to share with you. We say in that dua, Hatta mata wa ila mata aqulu lakal utba marratan ba'da ukhra thumma la tajidu indi sidqan wa la wafa'a. It's one of these very beautiful statements that encaptures what I'm trying to say here. In that plea, the Imam teaches us to say like this to Allah, that until when and how many times will I tell you that, oh Allah, forgive me, and then you forgive me, but then afterwards you don't find within me sincerity and truthfulness over what I've said. How many times are we going to repeat the cycle, in other words? Isn't there something more we could do, more fundamental, such that it's not about regressing throughout the year, but rather it's about progressing? That Laylatul Qadr isn't about just asking forgiveness and removing that pollution, but it's an opportunity to grow a lifetime as well too. It seems that that's what the spirit of Laylatul Qadr is, to say that when I come out of the month of Ramadan, I've gained so much, I'm going to preserve that, work on it, build on it, and then when I come to the next Laylatul Qadr, this is an opportunity for me to thank God for all the blessings He's given me throughout the year, and to even build further. It seems like that's what the spirit should be, even more so than the other way of doing things. Of just coming back and getting forgiven. That's a way of treating Laylatul Qadr as well too. Inshallah, Allah's mercy is general. It will, inshallah, encompass everyone. But in terms of taking it to the next level, what is the answer? How do we do that, brothers and sisters? On one hand, we can't all spend each night in worship. We have other things to do. Even coming to the center every night for lectures and programs and stuff, there's only so much we can do that as well too. We have a life to lead, we have things to do, places to go to, you know, like houses to run, businesses to run, you know, patients to see, cases to deal with. Right? Everyone has an occupation, everyone is busy. But is there a hope for us? Do we all have to like just quit our jobs, quit our studying and just go off to some, you know, Muslim country where we'll have some environment where we can just focus on us and God and our worship? Or is there hope for us? This is the one question I'd like to address, inshallah, and then we'll end up the speech. Please say salawat ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I'm going to take you back to the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam and try to use a lesson from that story to help address this question. Remember, we had gotten to the point where Nabi Musa alayhi salam has now worked for 10 years. Busy labor, you know, working with sheep, working with his hands, out in the sun, working with sheep. And during this time, according to some commentators of the Quran at least, Nabi Musa alayhi salam is being trained by the Prophet of Allah, Shu'aib, and he is gaining experiences which will be very useful for him when he becomes, or when he receives that first revelation and he announces his prophethood. After 10 years of work, then he bids Shu'aib farewell, and then he wants to make his way back to Egypt. Along the way, he's with his family. He gets lost, because perhaps he's taking another path. He doesn't want to get caught by the Pharaoh and his gang. And then he tells his family that, I see a fire in the distance. Why don't you stay here? Let me go see if I can either find somebody who can tell us which way to go, or let me at least get some fire so that we can be warm and we'll have some light. He goes towards the fire. And there he has an experience which is beyond words. Okay, it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran many times. Maybe 4 or 5 times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this experience. It just shows how important it is. Because this is an experience where Nabi Musa alayhi salam experiences direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah talks to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him that, "Oh Musa, you know, indeed I am Allah, I am the Lord of all the worlds," according to this surah here. And then he tells him something. He says that, "Oh Musa, cast your staff." Cast your staff. Musa alayhi salam, being a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, casts his staff. And then he sees that it turns into a snake or a serpent. And he is concerned, he's worried. He retreats. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, "No, Musa, take it up again and do not retreat. Do not be scared, because in my presence, you are among those who are safe. You know, you have the safety, and you, there's no need to fear, because you are a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala," according to another surah. Now, why, according to, now let me just quote to you what Nabi Musa alayhi salam says in Surah Taha, which is Surah number 20. The same story is told, but in a different way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show another side of the story in that surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Musa, he says, "وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ." I'm saying this and I'm focusing on these verses because it goes back to the question that I raised just a few minutes ago. "وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَىٰ." "Oh Musa, what is it that's in your right hand?" He says, "This is my stick, my staff, and I lean upon it. And with it I beat down leaves for my sheep, and I have other uses for it as well too." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, "Oh Musa, throw it down." Musa immediately throws it down. فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ سَنُعِيدُهَا سِيرَتَهَا الْأُولَى. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in so much detail? Why does He describe it three times in the Qur'an? And here, He goes into it in so much detail. He says that, he describes how Musa is talking about his staff, and he's describing it in many different ways. He's saying, "I lean upon it, it's what I use to beat down leaves for my sheep, and I have a lot of other uses in it." Is it because Nabi Musa alayhi salam, when he's being addressed by Allah, who is his beloved, he likes to, you know, he likes that conversation with Allah, so he prolongs his speech? Just like, you know, if you have two people who are in love with each other, they'll speak a lot, right? They want to talk a lot. Is that what it is? Is it Nabi Musa alayhi salam, is that he's in the conversation with his beloved, and that's why he wants to extend his speech? That's one possibility that commentators have given. Another possibility, which is a deeper possibility, is that this is a sign, this is symbolism. This happened. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa, "Oh Musa, cast down your staff," and Musa says, after Musa admits what his staff is for him, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Musa to do is, "Musa, this staff represents your connection with the dunya." Or it represents everything that you do when it comes to leading a life in this world. For us, it means going to school, it means getting in our car, going to work.